WTF, we're doing a podcast. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Michelle. This is 50. Welcome to What the 50. Join us on our continued journey to simplify our lives.
We will seek the answers from the experts and offer tips, tools, and techniques to live your life with confidence and joy. Are we ready?
Let's go.
So, hi, Michelle.
Hi, Nikki.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Meet Avery.
Hello.
Avery, meet Auntie Nikki.
Hi, Auntie Nikki.
So Avery is one of my daughters.
I know, you talk about
yes,
her
often. I've adopted her. And she is one of the most lovely young ladies that I've met in a long time. Avery has just been with us for quite a while. She's one of JP's friends and now Zacho's friend.
Yes.
And Avery's just part of our family. She's at her house all the time.
Oh, I love that.
Herself and Chris have a very special relationship. And we just love having you around, Avery. It's wonderful that you're on this episode with us, because in the very beginning, you were guiding us with the podcast and what we needed to start with and what equipment we needed and so on. And you yourself had a podcast as well. So we're happy to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be have been invited.
Of course. And today's a very special day. Today's your birthday.
Yes.
Off air will sing for you.
Not right. Happy birthday.
You made a debut on air.
How old are you turning, can I ask?
I am 24 today.
Oh, wow. 24.
Gosh, I was just about to say that lovely age of 24. But anyway, we're 50 something age.
Wow.
So welcome, Avery. And as you know, we're doing this parenting series.
Mm-hmm.
And we invited you today because we wanted to know what your thoughts were about your dad. Mm-hmm. You were brought up in a single parent
home.
And we just think it was interesting. You've told me a lot about your father over the time, but we'd love to hear more and for you to share with us what it was like for you.
But not even from a single parent. It's from is it Gen Z?
I think so. I believe it's Gen Z.
A Gen Zer with parenting, because during parenting month, we've been talking from the parents' perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But
let's switch it up a little and see what this age is on the cusp of, you know, maybe eventually slowly getting to that age where they too will become parents and have different opinions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's go. Tell us a little bit about Avery.
Okay. Well, thanks again for having me. Avery, she is a lot of things, including resilient. Wow, it's hard to describe myself actually. But I am a creative, I would say so. I'm a creative in not any one niche or specific way. And so throughout my life, my short time here, I found myself studying entertainment. So I did entertainment at UE. I did sports. I was an athlete during high school. And funny enough, I am doing a mix of both in my life right now, where I work for professional football in Jamaica.
Nice.
In terms of getting sponsors and managing relationships.
So that's marketing.
So that's marketing. And it's, yes, so that's what I'm doing, and it is for football. So there's a mix of everything that I have done before, a lot of influences from my dad, because my dad has a salon. He started in the field of cosmetology. I have been raised around hair and nails and that type of thing.
Wow.
And
what did he do actually? He had a salon. Did he actually do hair? And
so he had the salon that had started with a barbershop, and he actually trimmed hair and all that. And then he opened a hair salon, you know, just for an extra income, you know, stream.
Of course, we love an entrepreneur, don't we? Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. And then he started a spa later down, and he broke his hand and, you know, kind of went back to basics with the barber and the hair alone. And he kind of just dabbled into things that associated with what he was good at, which was his trade. right?
Working in his genius.
Yes, yes. But he also had a passion for music and producing music and entertainment. And so I find myself mirroring my dad a lot. I don't think by force. I think it's just natural. And I actually have a passion for that. And I say that to say because I started a small business in university where named Zen by Avery.
Okay.
Where I do at-home pedicures. And you know, it started predominantly with men because, you know, I raised around a lot of men. You know, I started with men and I did at-home services and then I started going off into products. And so I saw elements of my dad coming out into my own life without him having to do anything, just kind of exist, you know. So Avery is a creative that is diving into all of her interests all at once.
Okay.
Not really sure. Ever since I left university, it's been a bit anticlimactic where I'm just like, what next? You know? So I kind of believe that in life, lean towards your passion. Okay. Like it sounds cliche, but literally I lean towards what I love and I find that it just works out. Life just works out. So for me, Avery is a resilient, creative individual.
I love that. Still
figuring out herself.
Of course, you're 24.
I'm 24.
We're still figuring out ourselves.
Yes.
My son, who's 22, calls it the quarter life crisis.
Yes, I've heard that before. I don't think I've reached the point to where I would call it a crisis.
No, you're doing good.
Yes, yeah. I think I'm just here, just sieving through everything because I've done Miss Universe.
What?
I've run at pen relays. I've done JPL for two seasons, executed games.
You've done a podcast.
I've done a podcast.
You started a business.
And I'm telling you, I love everything I've done. It was never a that's not my thing, let me stop. It was just the time for it to end, and it ended, and I went into something else. So that's what I just consider
divine timing for everything. But I think that's a JPL gig. That's like a dream job, don't you think?
Honestly, I feel chosen. I believe in God, right? So here we go. My belief in God has led me to just believe that He wants me to inspire other people, because I don't feel like it's normal for someone at 23, because at the time I would have been 22 turning 23, straight out of university, bam, this big job. And I must give a big shout out to Chris Williams for that opportunity, because I outdid my own self.
I'm feeling teary. Honestly, I'm feeling teary. I love that. You see, honestly,
he saw your potential, Avery.
He saw what I didn't see. Yeah. And right now,
he pulled it out of you, right? Because we had that conversation. He literally yanked it out of Avery.
And I do believe that. This aside, but I said to Michelle, you know, there's a lot of women leaders at Proven, which I love.
There are. There are.
And Avery has her own story with her relationship with Chris, which is quite inspiring, actually. If you feel like sharing it, right ahead.
Yes.
Because he's a tough taskmaster. But he will see your potential and he won't stop until you're shining.
I must say,
where you are right now.
That is definitely where I am. And I'm feeling it. Like at first I was nervous. Sometimes I asked him, why me? Like I've asked him that about 3 times, I can recall. And he's like, because, and he tells me why. And I'm just like, you know what? Just go in there blind and just do it. Do whatever it is. And I've outdone myself, I must say.
Mm-hmm. And it feels good to have somebody believe in you and support you, which I do believe is what the relationship you had with your father, because you were raised primarily by your father.
By my dad, yes. So as regards to Uncle Chris, it was familiar territory because, as you were saying, I am raised by my dad. Ironically, if I was to look back at my younger self, I actually can't really recall being around, like dad being around, because dad was always away, you know? So I couldn't really recall, like I can't really recall vivid memories of like daddy and Avery. Maybe like a movie date, or, but just like, he was out he was out there making what he needed to make. So I was around a lot of female energy, a lot of female.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would say it took a village. So my family stepped in at a while I was younger, and while he had to go and get, you know, and make money to fuel me, and he gave me the best. Like, I think he gave me what he considered the best, and what he didn't do, for what he didn't get for himself, because he was also raised without mommy and daddy, you know. So I am accustomed to that male figure believing in me and investing in me, just as my dad did. I wasn't really happy about it then, but I understand now that he needed helping hands. And also there's a lot of things that he couldn't do that a mother or a female figure would have to step in and do.
And that's where the village came in.
Yeah.
And that's part of your village.
So my village would be predominantly his sisters, my aunties. Yes. So my cousins were my siblings at that time. And I was most definitely raised as an only child. Definitely raised. But I always had other individuals around me that it's almost like the title came off. So the cousin, the auntie, it was like, okay, this feels like a mom, so we lean into it. This feels like a sister, brother, we lean into it. And that was my life. Like, it wasn't about who and, you know, so it was aunties and cousins.
So we talked a little bit about your village.
Mm-hmm.
Then you mentioned the influence of your dad. Can you tell us now, like, what would be one of your most memorable moments with dad? There were a few.
Mm-hmm.
The interaction was not as much as you'd have liked it, but I'm sure you've had moments that you said, oh my gosh, I'll never forget this moment with dad.
I do have several, actually.
Of course.
I think I can share two because I can vividly remember them. The first one would have been GSAT. GSAT. I remember GSAT. Parents stress more than kids. And it was, you know, it's just crazy that during that time. And I wouldn't consider myself the smartest cookie at that time. And
I love it.
When I would, I can't recall, I would have needed assistance from external individuals. So daddy wasn't the one sitting down and doing the homework necessarily. It was probably stepmom at that time or auntie and extra lessons or staying back at school. So I remembered he said to me, he asked me if I was going to give it my all, right? And I said, I'm going to give it my all because I did well in the grade 4 literacy test and everything. So I'm going to give it my all, and I wanted to go to Immaculate. That was my first choice. Actually, I wanted to go to St. Andrew High School for girls. And my family was like Immaculate because my family predominantly has Immaculate girls. So I was under this pressure. I remember that feeling, you know, under this pressure. And it's like, you're going to give it your all, you know, no matter what. Promise. I did. I didn't get the school I want. I didn't get any of the schools I wanted to go to. And I was devastated because I felt like I failed my dad. And he said, I'm gonna make you go. I'm gonna give you the opportunity again to give yourself another shot. He said, you're gonna do it again. And during that time, it's memorable because it's like I wanted more of my dad. I know there was nothing wrong with me, and I felt like I failed my dad. Like, how could I? So I gave myself another shot in high school. Went to school, and I had bad friends, then made good friends and became champion girl, became prefect, sub-prefect. What? And this was all in an effort to make my dad proud of me, right? And I'm in an interview, right? I made my dad proud of me. And I moved on to doing CAPE and CXC. And I outdid myself in an effort to make my dad proud. And at the end, he turned to me, which was years after GSAT, and said, you said you were gonna do it, and you did it. And that was a very memorable moment because I felt acknowledged.
Of course.
Everything. So my dad couldn't sit down and do certain things, or I never had the time to do a lot of things with me, but he put in place all the right people that mm-hmm. could do, couldn't do. Mm-hmm. I felt weird and I felt bad, and he made me change my friends, and I felt like, ugh, why would you do that? I felt like he was against me, you know. And I went through several partners that he would have had, and I just felt like alone for a while, but I wasn't. And I felt so good when I heard that he said that. So
he was proud of you.
Yeah, he was genuinely proud of me. Mm-hmm. And the second one, which is funny, it's school related still. He made an oath to himself, and he always talks about it, which is to bring me to university. Fast forward to the end of university, and university was its own little roller coaster. It was almost the same situation where he was like, there's nothing else that you will need to do for me to be proud of you. I know you are capable. I know you are just, he said if he dies, he knows that I'm fine. Like he's
okay.
Not. Just feel like, it's like, wow. It's, you know, when you kind of think about, oh, someone passes and you wish that you could say something. I feel like he said all that he could possibly say to me. You know, that type of thing. Down to even this morning when he said to me, you're a star with no clouds around you.
Oh, so that's sweet.
Yeah, it was so cute. I almost got teary a while ago. Yeah, so.
I know that is really very special to you.
He is. He rubs me the wrong way many times, as parents do, but he is more good than anything else.
Yeah. I love that. I love the way that he has been encouraging you for such a long time. He stays in the background. And he does. Makes sure that he's a cheerleader from behind. And we need that too. I mean, parents have different ways of parenting and motivating and influencing us. But obviously, dad is doing a good job.
Yeah, I agree.
So every Gen Y parent yeah. wants to know from the Gen Z-er.
Z.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. what as a parent did you think that your dad did that you said, wow, dad, you're a star for doing that, mm-hmm. parenting me? And then on the other way, what is it something that you're going to say, okay, well, maybe could have a little bit different, and maybe I won't parent that way?
Okay, so let me start with the good, right? I believed my dad had trust in me.
Mm.
That's something that is so easy to answer and tell you. I believe that, I'm going to give you a little story, if that's okay.
Love a story.
He trusted me. I think it took some time, but he didn't make me feel there was lack of trust at any point, right? An example is when I started university, I started a major of management studies in social science faculty. And I, for the podcast sake, as real as it gets, I failed everything but one course, which was a creative course. Mm-hmm. And I had friends at the time that were at UE before me and stuff like that. And they were guiding me throughout the school semester. Long story short, I made a proposal, which I do so often now. I made a proposal and a presentation to my dad as to why I need to change my major to entertainment and cultural enterprise management within the Faculty of Humanities. Mm-hmm. But the gag was, and the gag means the catch, right, was that I would have to do one extra year, okay. Right? So, you know, that comes with finances and stuff like that. And I did the presentation and told him what I was going to do within the 3 years, what I needed to graduate, and how I was going to do so, and what I was going to do within the time, extracurricular, you know, activity. And he trusted me, and I think that drove me, no matter what battles or struggles I felt, I think it drove me. He trusted me, and I think that was very important for me during my university life, that he trusted that I was going to do as I said. And in everything now, if I come to him and I say, I have this idea, he trusts me, listens to me, and gives me his advice. And he doesn't cancel. I find that a lot of my peers, or many of my peers, have an issue where their parents don't allow them to be themselves. Their parents mm-hmm. have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have an idea of what their child is. And so they kind of conform to that idea instead of be themselves. And they're they may be shocked or not to find out that they don't really like doing this, or they want to spend time, or, you know, or stuff like that. And my dad allowed me to just be myself. And funny enough, I wasn't troublesome. I wasn't sneaky. I was always so open to say that this is what I have an interest in. So that's the good.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah, because many parents want their kids to be who they think they should.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. It turns out into just a lot of anxiety and just sadness, because you kind of feel like you're not living up to the expectation, one, and you don't want to live up to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Two. But for the opposite
change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I
would do differently.
Mm-hmm. Differently is the time spent.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I value the time spent, because I look around in my family and I'm the only, well, not the only, well, I'm going to say it, the only child raised by a man.
Okay.
And sometimes when it gets to Christmas or when it gets to Mother's Day, it gets a little lonely. It does. And I found that I found that I wanted to be spending a little bit more time with my dad, just doing anything, having dinner. As a matter of fact, growing up made it more vivid that I wanted that. I didn't know that I wanted that until, for example, Justin would tell me I'm going to take my mom out.
Yes. And
I'd be like, what? That's you know, and not for a specific occasion, just because. And I would have loved so many just because. You know, and I know there's time now for it, but it did definitely shift the type of person I am, in terms of the fact that I felt I was needy of that people. So a lot of female, and from female figures predominantly, where I just leaned on females so much. Like my stepmother, stepmothers or girlfriends he would have, I would lean into them to try and balance out what I wasn't getting, or what I, you know, and I would be so dissatisfied all the time, because one, it's not coming from who I wanted to come from, that attention, and then it never felt genuine, because these people are not obligated, or, you know, I'm not theirs in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I want that, and for my children, I want them to know that it's, our relationship is not a textbook, it's not a oh, mom, dad should do this, or keep things away from this, or boundary. But nah, I want to be able to have my child sit down and have dinner. We speak about just what is going on in their head, unscramble things together, play a game. I haven't played
it. Just quality time.
I haven't done that with my dad. In hindsight, I'm now noticing, like, we haven't done any of that. We haven't went to the beach and just go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I would have changed, because it would really feel good on the days that are not the best to think back and be like, yeah, you know.
So what I'm hearing you say, Avery, for parenting advice is listen to your kids.
Yeah.
What they have to say, trust them, and spend a lot of time with them, or as much time as you can. Quality time with them. And that's your solid parenting advice.
Definitely solid.
I think so, because I find that my peers, most, and I'm thinking of them, everyone has mom and dad. Mm-hmm. Everyone has dad. And sometimes I see the opportunities that they could take up with their own parents. Like, why don't you do this? Or I see where they're doing things. They have barbecues. They have family get-togethers. I know that in the Williams house, our birthday is a big deal. And I look forward to, like, the table design. And when it's...
oh, you know.
I look forward to it. And on the other side, you know, I think, wow, how can I... Because I also want to look from my dad's perspective, you know. And that's only since I've been older. Like, why does he do what he... you know, do. And so now I have the opportunity to shift the narrative. Now I can take my time and go out with my dad, or go over, because we don't live together. I live on my own now. mm-hmm. I can go and visit him and spend time with him and talk mm-hmm. to him, call him on the phone. And so our relationship has improved significantly because that element was missing. But now I'm old and I had to be of conscious mind to, you know, to have fixed things.
Right. And excellent. And look, it took us a long time to realize that we don't have to wait for anybody mm-hmm. to celebrate us, but we can make those things happen. So I'm glad that you're learning it.
Yeah. Very early.
Yeah, for sure.
But celebrating those moments, that's really important. And as we get older, we realize just the value of time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really, really critical. I mean, I just think it's so important. You can't get it back, you know. But I love the tips you've given to us.
Thank you.
I love the fact that you have your relationship with dad is great. I mean, I look at you and I just think you're just a mini dad. You're so much like him. Yeah. But you know, it's really wonderful to hear how the relationship has evolved over time.
It definitely has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it will only get better.
It will. And I wanted to add, just for the podcast sake,
of course,
a lot of the conversation has been around and centered around dad and I. But I want to thank my dad for never painting an image of my mother in any way negative.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know if it was something he set out to do, but he never highlighted her in a negative way. He was so respectful to the situation, and the situation with my mother was she was just not capable of taking care of me. And so he took it upon himself, because I would have been my dad's first child and I would have been her third child. Mm-hmm. Right. And she just wasn't in the position to take care of me. And for some reason, which I'm still unclear about, and one day I'll figure it out, you know, she still didn't think that her presence was enough in my life. So that's something I had to deal with, because I wasn't sure, like, okay, we couldn't afford to do this, couldn't, you know, do certain things that you wanted to do, but why wasn't your presence, which was, it's priceless to me. And
this
I think
the time, right,
another tip, you know, same thing we're saying, just you being there, just me knowing how you looked.
She probably didn't know how.
And that's also something that for people, for children, well, they have a lot of things running through your head where you're just like, am I not good enough? I've had that thought. Am I, like, okay, it's your mom. In Jamaica, mothers are like the thing, that queen, the head of the household, that type of thing.
Yes.
What's wrong with me? You know, and I had to learn to forgive her. For what I don't understand, but it wasn't so easy. So mommy just couldn't have done it. It even sounds weird saying mommy, but she just couldn't have taken care of me, and she refrained from being there completely. And so dad took the fort and just carried on, took me to prep school, took me to high school, right through, and university up until now. And he took me to lunch just this morning.
Dad did his best.
So he did what he could have done, and not put a bad light. Put a bad light on my mother.
Yeah,
so
that's excellent.
And I'm sure they're both very proud of you. And
who definitely
have grown into, because I'm proud of you. And I just met you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that's that. So today is your very special day, and
we
wish you all the very best.
Thank you.
Continue to make us proud, but more importantly, continue to make yourself proud.
Of course.
Because you're doing what you're doing for yourself, right?
I am. I definitely am.
We're going to sing happy birthday for you off the air, of course.
Okay, auntie.
Enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you so much.
I'm looking forward to Avery's journey. She has like an amazing future.
She does.
Ahead of her.
She has done a lot in a short time, but your spirit though, Avery, is just so very positive, and you're just so motivated, and you just want to get these things done and you get it done.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Sure. I'm really proud of you.
Sure. Thank you so much.
I'm happy for you.
Thank
and you
so
see the happiness on her too.
Today is that day where accepting a lot that like is like I haven't stopped to look around and acknowledge that okay, you know, there's a lot going on and you've done so much. Even graduating, I was like, wow, I did it well. Okay. So you know, really well, yeah. So it's a lot to take in, and it's overwhelming, but in a good way, you know.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for giving us your time on your birthday.
Yes, and thank you for inviting me. I feel so honored and special.
Yes, you are.
Alrighty. Thank you.
Yes, I do.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the 50. Please show your love and encouragement by sharing, subscribing, and leaving a review wherever you're listening.
And don't forget to like and follow us on Instagram. And please join our active Facebook group at What.the50.